This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Now, this is no substitute for a referendum on the president.
People do oftentimes find themselves dealing with great
deal. We have a double dip coming in housing and the residential.
If you want to fly a flag that represents something you believe in.
If anybody has pictures for us out there.
I think it's pretty gay.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where through the looking glass we go every single night to find a little piece of that and more. Welcome back. How many text messages do you think the average kid sends every month? Well, the answer will probably astound you. Maybe it won't. It didn't really astound me so much as it reaffirmed what I already suspected, I guess. So we've got that answer, plus the Muslim Disney employee gets suspended for not wearing the kind of clothing that you're supposed to wear when you're a member of the character cast there at Disneyland. Welcome to our show, 877-876-PHIL, another hour of our show here. Phil Hendry along with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman as we do our news hour. And this hour we will also have National Socialist Radio coming up.
What's that?
Yeah. I know. You haven't done that in a long time. No, we have National Socialist Radio coming up because Adolf Hitler, it turns out, has chromosomal, or his family has chromosomal evidence with this whole DNA genome thing that people do now. They found relatives of Hitler, right?
They didn't have a kid or anything. I thought he only had one testicle.
Well, first of all, I don't know whether he only had one testicle or not, but they found he's got a cousin that's alive.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And the cousin's like a German farmer, and so they took a DNA swab from him. Hitler has like 37 living relatives.
But he only had one testicle.
What difference does that make?
You could have like a cousin or something, man. Got nothing to do with his testicle.
You're talking about him having kids, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any difference. And that by the way, that's a rumor, man. That hasn't been verified. Anyway, you know, I think it's fair to assume that Adolf Hitler was at least competent in the bedroom because he had this woman in his life and she was willing to go down she was willing to go up the chimney with him. So, I mean, that's love and commitment, ain't it?
Well, she might be like it when a guy just doesn't touch her. That might get her off.
Yeah, that's right, man. That really, women. Boy, there's a whole school of thought on that with women. Oh, I know. How about if the guy doesn't touch you? So anyway, why did I bring all this crap up, man? Oh, yeah, National Socialist Radio. So anyway, this genome thing, or this the chromosomes, that the chromosomal evidence in the Hitler family is that he has strains of Sephardic Jew, which is the Spanish Jewish people, strains of Moroccan, Algerian. So Uncle Adolf, man, when it can't, the racial purity thing, forget it.
Not even there, huh?
No, not even there. I mean, that guy, if he hadn't been the Fuhrer, they would have stuck his ass in a concentration camp. Anyway, that's coming up on National Socialist Radio. So, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And our website, philhenryshow.com. And we were just talking here about the variety of which is probably a better conversation for another day. But I just want you to know that we have brand new downloads available for you, the downloads of July 2004. I mean, there's so many plans we've got for our website in terms of our live streaming video, making it available on whatever phone you've got. The Android phone, I'm told now, is beating the pants off of the iPhone in terms of what it can do. Most people have iPhones, not a lot of people have the Android, and yet the Android is more versatile. Then we have the, we eventually want to have an iPhone app for our show. But do we have it for the iPhone or do we have it for the Android? What kind of app should we have? And so on and so forth. Now, Jason Rance, my producer, has... What do you got, man? A BlackBerry or an Android? You were going to check to see if you're getting the video tonight. If he can see the video cast, which is on our website, philhenryshow.com. I guess he can't. I don't know. What kind of phone do you have? Anyway, our number 877... Oh, he's working on it. He's got an Android, so you're working on it. All right. 877-876-PHIL. The reason why I'm bringing all of this up to you guys is very, very interesting headline. Consumers dropping pay TV services. Consumers dropping pay TV services. Now, that's not exactly what it appears. But let me get into this story. And again, knowing these trends, probably being in my business, it's more important perhaps to me than it would be for a lot of you guys. But if you play the stock market, if you're interested in how the culture, which direction the American consumer is going in terms of entertainment and information, this is really interesting. The number of subscribers to cable, satellite, and telecom television services in the U.S. fell for the first time ever in the second quarter, according to research firm SNL Kagan. Now, listen, the U.S. multi-channel TV market lost 216,000 customers last quarter versus a gain of 378,000 customers a year ago. That is what they call year-to-year. So last year, they were at a certain level. They've dropped 217,000 from that. That means they haven't lost their entire gain from last year, but they've lost a bit of it. The total number of subscribers to cable, satellite, and telecom video fell to 100.1 million in the second quarter. Now, most of that loss, though, came from cable television. Because if you separate out the numbers, listen to this. Cable TV firms lost 711 subscribers last quarter, but satellite and telecom TV added 81,000 and 414,000 subscribers. What does that mean? Satellite television, 81,000. Telecom TV, what you can get over your phone. That's why we were talking about Android, iPhone. This is the media revolution that I've been talking to you guys about, and I know you know that it's going on, but do you really know how it's going? In other words, do you understand, you know, you see a lot of gadgets. You know what I see on my side of the microphone here? You guys are listening to me tonight.
Well, you don't see anything. You're just looking at a computer.
Oh, but don't try to be funny.
Yeah, shut up, man.
I'm not trying to be funny. So you know what I see?
I'm talking about the story. What do I see? People, when they hear me say this, they hear, oh, yeah, you're right, Phil. There's a lot of really cool gadgets. You're right. Telecom TV and satellite TV. People are looking for a more portable and more convenient way of accessing what they want to access. What do I hear as a content provider? I hear that people want content, more content. They want content for their phone. They want content on satellite. And the other area that is growing by leaps and bounds, that is broadband internet. Okay? People are bypassing the traditional service providers, and they are going to OTT TV, a video programming delivered over broadband internet. Your internet, watching television by way of the computer. So what is the upshot? It isn't any longer about televisions as opposed to computers, as opposed to cellular phones, which one's winning. That's got nothing to do with nothing. What it has to do with is this: content, and how do you want it delivered to you? Do you want it on your phone? Do you want it on your TV? Do you want it on your computer? Do you want it on your iPod? Do you want it on your iPad? Do you want it on your MaxiPad?
That'd be hysterical, give it on a MaxiPad.
Shut up.
That was pretty funny.
What pad do you want it on, okay? Although it is tempting to point to over-the-top video as a potential culprit, over-the-top meaning the video programming delivered over broadband internet, we believe economic factors such as low housing formation and high unemployment rate contributed to subscriber declines in the second quarter. And that might very well be. I'm not discounting that the economy has caused people to say, geez, you know, I mean, our subscription service on our website, we have seen growth every single month. Now, is it record-breaking growth? We had a 20% jump in March, and we've seen incremental increases ever since then. And I got to tell you, I'm grateful to our subscribers. I'm grateful to the people that listen to our show and that enjoy the content of our show, because we're bucking a trend here, man, with our website. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that we are in a recession, and anybody that takes a look at this raw data, anybody that's in the business of providing content, takes a look at this. You want to get yourself ready for when we are finally out of this bloody recession, whenever the hell that is, right? You want to get ready and be in position to do some business. So forget about cable TV, because that ain't where it's at anymore. This is, we're talking about all different manner of delivering content. Most analysts believe the over-the-top TV eventually could upend pay TV business. Over-the-top TV is video programming delivered over broadband internet and bypassing traditional service providers.
I understand none of that, man.
What it means is, man, do you watch TV or do you not?
You know I watch TV.
Right. But you watch it on your computer?
Yeah, man, you watch it on your laptop, and you watch it on like, what, you got a BlackBerry?
I got a BlackBerry only because it's way better than that. BlackBerry beats iPhone by a mile. You don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe, man, but I like my iPhone, okay?
Yeah, but can you get the Phil Henry streaming video on that?
You will. Don't worry about it, man. Our streaming video right now is top of the line. You tune into the streaming video of this show right now, and it is the best video quality you got anywhere on the internet. I don't give a crap who's providing it. Akamai, baby. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, National Socialist Radio still to come, plus America's 10 most bed-bug-infested cities. Oh, yeah. Coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Shut up, man. I was talking.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we're going to tell you here about the hijab thing at Disneyland. Phil Henry Show, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. What'd you find out, Robert?
All right, now the Android phone, if you get an upgrade on an Android, it's going to have Adobe Flash at the end of the summer. It's going to support the Phil Henry streaming video.
All right, so there you go. That's what we got to get, right?
Yeah, but you don't have that. You got a stupid iPhone.
Have you got an Android?
No, but I got BlackBerry.
Well, I don't know whether my show comes in on BlackBerry or not.
Yeah, it does.
Well, then that's the answer, man, the Android, you know?
I think so, man. I mean, this iPhone can support, because you got Flash Adobe on your live streaming video.
See, I don't, you know, I like my iPhone because I can use a, I can update the website from it, but I don't see why I can't do that.
Yeah, you can do it for any kind of phone. It says the Apple are the only one that's going to let you do that.
Yeah, you can do anything you want. Yeah. Quit being, you should tell them what you want. Tell Apple what they want.
Tell Apple what they want.
Tell Apple, or, yeah, is that what it's called, Apple?
Apple, not Apo. Tell them what they want. They got to tell, I got to tell them what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah, right.
Whatever I said. Disney, so anyway, at the end of the summer, Android's coming out with an upgrade that will enabled you to get our live streaming video show on the Android phone while it's happening. And, of course, our on-demand. So, ideally, what a lot of people enjoy is they sit down to have breakfast. They turn on our video from the night before. They throw up and it puts them off their, you know, their appetite.
Yeah, and then they leave for work earlier.
Yeah, and they get out of the house earlier. All right, Disney rejects Muslim hostess in hijab dispute after she rejected a, or excuse me, Disney suspends Muslim hostess. Although they did kind of reject her after she rejected them. So Disney suspends Muslim hostess in hijab dispute after she rejected a third alternative head covering. A Muslim woman who is fighting for the right to wear her religious scarf to her hostess job at Disneyland has been taken off the schedule. Now, right there, I don't think is a very honest sentence. She's fighting for the right. There's no right to wear your Muslim scarf to your hostess job at Disneyland. There is your perceived right, but there is no right. Disney officials say they stopped putting Iman Burle on the schedule during the ongoing issue because the whole thing was giving him a headache. The Hotel Workers Union claims that Budlal or Budle or, you know,
Boodle.
Or Boodle, a restaurant hostess at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel, was suspended without pay. On Tuesday, Budlal rejected a third alternative head covering that Disney provided, and she was sent home for the eighth time. Disney previously offered Budlal four other assignments that would allow her to wear her own headscarf called a hijab, which some Muslim women choose to wear as a form of modesty. Disney is known for its strict dress code called the Disney look. Quote, says Ms. Boudlal, the Constitution tells me I can be a Muslim and I can wear the headscarf. Who is Disney to tell me I cannot? You've been here, what, 5 years, however long, you're a citizen now for 14 seconds, and you're telling me what the Constitution says. Do you understand the fights that we've had in this country interpreting the Constitution as to contemporary standard? And we've come to the conclusion that a worker must adhere to a reasonable dress code if imposed by the employer, or they don't have to bloody well work there. The employer, for their part, may not have anything other than a safe working environment, a healthy working environment. They may not work their workers too hard or too long. They must pay them a certain amount of money. We've been down this road a long time, young lady, before you ever made the scene, baby. We got Muslims. We got Jains. We got Catholics. We got them all, man. We got Jews. We got the curly Q thing with the beanie. We got it all, man. We got chicks out in Texas on that compound there, that goofy thing with the bun hairdo. Every kind of religion known to mortal man we got. And we got churches. And we got mosques. You talk about building a mosque. We got mosques all through New York, all up and down Manhattan. And we got every kind of bloody synagogue and church and temple and you know... We got everything that you need, man, in this country, okay? But the one thing we ain't got people walking into a private place of business and saying, my religion tells me that this and though, and they get to just do whatever they want. No, you don't. Now, there have been compromises with regard to religious holidays. Yes, we have given people off certain days. Some have become traditional in terms of the culture. Many people think, for instance, that Christmas is a religious holiday. Well, yes, it is for Christians. It's not a religious holiday, though, for non-Christians. It's a seasonal festival. It's a seasonal observance. It's a seasonal celebration. For me, and for others who may not be really hardcore Christians, although I am a Catholic, it represents more of a tradition than it does a religious holiday. And we give that day off. Jewish people are entitled to have certain days off, as are Muslims. That is our concession to religion. And there are others. You are not taxed if you have a church and so forth. You go up and down the streets of America, you see every kind of place of worship there is. But you do not get to watch my television set.
That's from Heat.
I mean, yeah, I got that wrong.
Yeah, you got that from Heat.
I mean, that, yeah. You do not get to wear your headscarf. I was thinking of Al Pacino in Heat.
Yeah, that was a great line, though.
Right, but that's got nothing to do with... You do not get to wear your headscarf when they tell you, no, you don't get to, especially when it is not a religiously required... See, that's the thing she's not telling anybody. That's the dishonest part. She's not religiously required to wear that. She's choosing to wear that. Why is she choosing to wear it? Well, some may say it's because she's a very strict observer of her faith. I don't buy that. I think she's choosing to wear it to be a pain in the ass. I think she's choosing to wear it to self-aggrandize, to say, look at me. You know, I'm challenging authority. I'm 28 years old. I don't have a whole hell of a lot going for me. I just got my U.S. citizenship. Why don't I kick off my stay in my new adopted home by being a pain in everybody's ass with my headscarf? All right. Yeah.
Way to do it.
Disney is known for its strict dress code. Okay, anyway, Boudlal, through the union, described the most recent head covering as an oversized chef's hat. She previously rejected a hat over a bonnet. The hat makes a joke of my religion. Yeah, sure, that's what it does. And draws even more attention to me, Boudlal says. It's unacceptable. They don't want me to look Muslim. Of course they don't. They just don't want the head covering to look like a hijab. Right. 2 months ago, Boudlal told her manager she wanted a religious accommodation to the company's dress code to wear the scarf to work during the holy month of Ramadan and beyond. Disney, however, refused, Boudlal says. On August 15th, Boudlal wore her hijab to work, but was told that if she wanted to work as a hostess, she'd have to remove the headscarf. Disney told her she could work in the back of the restaurant away from the customers or go home without pay. She chose to go home. Disney says the company has very strict uniform rules. Typically, somebody in an onstage position like hers wouldn't wear something like that. That's not part of the costume. On stage. You see how Disney is? Everybody's on stage because it is a performance. Well, there you go. All right, coming up, National Socialist Radio. We'll interview Adolf Hitler on the fact that he may have some Algerian blood and Jewish blood. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, get Mr. Hitler ready.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And good morning. This is National Socialist Radio for this morning, Wednesday, August 25th on National Socialist Radio. Hans Pfizer will be with us later on the new V1 rocket and the rocket bases there in northern Germany. And we'll also have with us Andrik Paulus, who will talk about the difficulty of negotiating the British Spitfires there in the Battle of Britain. And we'll have our news headlines now. Hitler had Jewish and African roots, DNA tests show. Adolf Hitler is likely to have had Jewish and African roots, according to a DNA test. And also in New Jersey, parents who gave their children Nazi-inspired names like Adolf Hitler, they've lost custody of those children. And we also have a story here about the Führer was saved by an undercover police officer from being kicked to death by a mob. So that's some interesting news here this morning. And we are joined this morning, as we are on a semi-regular basis, by the Führer and the Mein Führer. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good. Very good.
So it's a lot of news, huh?
A lot of news, and most of it... you know, the usual rumor, but I don't, for my own purpose, have the opportunity to read this, you know.
Well, let's start with this first story, and also I've got a phone call in here to Hermann Göring, the head of the Luftwaffe, and the Reichsmarschall is on the phone. Are you there, Reichsmarschall?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Good, I wanted to speak with him about the trying to get the radar station, you know?
You want to talk to that?
Yes, were we going to say that in conference?
No, the radar station now. We are going to send over our boys, don't worry.
Don't tell me not to worry, you know. It's good, you know. I have been waiting for, I don't know how long, for him to knock out the radar stations and also the air bases in England, and this fat ass starts to bomb the cities. You know,
well, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Can we, Reichsmarschall?
You want me to speak of what? To people that don't know what I'm saying?
No, everybody knows what we're saying. Did I say to you, you bomb the air bases in England and you go after the city? Why?
Because we want to demoralize the citizen, you know. Why we do that?
Who's the Führer? Are you the Führer or me?
Because we want...
No. Who's the Führer? You or me?
You're the Führer.
Okay, so when I say to you, why don't we bomb the airbase and you go after the city, your Coventry Garden and this kind of jazz, what's that mean?
I blew it.
You blew it, yeah. You blew it.
Yeah, you know.
Well, the words of Robert De Niro, you blew it.
Yeah, the movie that we see the other night, Herman.
Yeah.
The movie the other night with De Niro, you know, you blew it.
All right, I blew it, but... The attack on the airbase was having absolutely no effect.
Yes, it was having effect. But the problem is they broke our code. You know, forget it.
Well, this is an interesting conversation, isn't it?
Well, you know, I have this all the time with him.
You know, what we believe me, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
All right, well, this is Hans Pfizer, and... let me say this is National Socialist Radio. We have the Führer on the phone. We have Reichsmarschall Hermann Göring. So, mein Führer, Adolf Hitler is likely to have had Jewish and African roots, DNA tests have shown. What do you think?
What do you want? You know, what do you say? You know, you say it's been fun. You say game's up. You say how could I know? I don't know. You know, well, they apparently they tested some of your relatives.
Yeah, you know. So I'm a Jew. You know, but let's say this. I know a lot of Jews. I've got Jews. I let Jews out of concentration camp all the time, you know. It's not about Jews anymore. It's about communists. Communists, you know. That's really what the Bolshevik, you know. Yeah, but mein Führer, you all said that Bolshevism was the product of the Jew.
It was the product of the Jew, but look, I can't very well. Hey, it's not a calling card for me anymore, you know, because look, and I'm black. Good God, you know, it doesn't get any worse than that, you know, to say that, you know.
That's why I said, do you want me to take over? If you're black, if you're Jew.
Why don't you do everybody a favor and just sit there and listen, all right?
But, you know...
Just sit there and listen. Mein Führer, this brings to mind something, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hermann Göring, Reich Marshal, had sent you a telegram saying that he felt that you were indisposed or you were not able to effect the duties of the Führer. He took over. And yet you wanted to have him arrested. Why was that?
Why was that? Because I was doing fine.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. You know?
Well, if you just... You know something, fat boy? God.
Here he goes again with the weight. You know?
Well, it's not a very mature thing. Don't wait. Your fat ass that I've been... You know, I carried you and carried you. You know, let me tell you about this guy. You know,
I sent a telegram.
No, hold on. I got to tell the people. This guy, he got a big, big name for himself. You know, First World War, he was at Richthofen and those guys, right?
Oh, yeah, he was at Bernd von Richthofen?
Yeah, he was at Flying Circus, right? Hey, Herman, what, you want to tell the story again?
No, I was at Bloody Red Baron, you know, Bernd von Richthofen Flying Circus. And
that's enough. So anyway... Big man, right? So he joins a party, so I bring him along, and I give him this job. And ever since I make this guy, Reich Marshal, you know, head of Luftwaffe, a fat slob sitting around all day long, he's ripping people off, you know. He's, well, I wanted to say about the paintings.
But I don't pay the paintings.
Don't you're stealing paintings? Oh, yeah, he's stealing paintings, freaking thief. Let me tell you something. Number one, if I've got African and Jewish roots, it isn't because I wasn't trying not to have any, but I don't know. I was trying to clean the whole thing up. I don't know. As far as this New Jersey couple, I don't know who they are. And secondly, no one tried to kick me to death. And thirdly, that's about all I've got. So, well, mein Führer, this is a very good conversation with you, but I'd like to be more far-reaching at some point in the future, you know. When we have some time and we don't have fat ass, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
You asked. You called me. I didn't call you. You called me.
Next time we don't have fat ass.
Yeah, they don't have fat ass.
You called.
National Socialist Radio. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And he'll be back right after this. 877-876-PHIL.
I didn't call you.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, here's another guy that doesn't know anything. This is another guy that's taken an argument, a traditional argument, and now he's turned it into something else. And, you know,
you talk about a guy with a tea party? He stands for First Amendment.
Just hold the phone, okay?
Well, that's what I think, too.
No, wait just a second. Just a second. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. All right. Forget about that for just a second, will you? This is the Homeowners Association flag controversy, part 861. Now, what are we talking about here? The American flag? No. This one, we're talking about the Tea Party flag. Now, it's got nothing to do with my political point of view. Nothing to do with it at all, okay?
Yeah, you don't like it, though, because of Tea Party, right?
No, I did. It's got nothing to do with it, man. This guy, his name is Ed Turner. He wants to fly the Tea... Who is Ed freaking Turner? Who the hell is he?
A guy named Ed McDonald.
All right, an Arizona man is fighting his homeowners association over a flag that many are using to represent the Tea Party movement. Andy McDonald is flying the flag outside his Levine, Arizona home. The 3 foot by 5 foot yellow flag has a picture of a serpent and the words "Don't tread on me." Whoop-de-doo, a phrase picked up by the Tea Party movement recently, but to McDonald, the flag isn't political, it's patriotic. He's been flying the flag since January, but recently his HOA asked him to take it down. Who's Ed Turner? Is what I've been asking here for the last 15 minutes. Anyway, he's a neighbor, okay. He's been flying the flag. He's appealed to the board. He was denied. He's now been fined for flying the flag. McDonald says he's not taking the flag down and support, and neighbors support McDonald's decision to fly it. And here's Ed Turner, who's one of the neighbors. He says, if you want to fly the flag that represents something you believe in, then you should be able to do it without anyone telling you that you don't have a First Amendment right. That's right, Ed. So I can fly a swastika flag next to your house. You'll be cool with that, right? Or how about the hammer and sickle? Or how about a big-ass flag about how bitchin' I think Obama is? You cool with that? You think I'm kidding? I move in next door to Ed Turner there in Levine, Arizona, and fly the hammer and sickle, man. Bull crap. Now, I'm not saying the don't tread on me flag is anything like that. What I'm saying is this, and this is what these people don't get. When all of this stuff erupted, it was about the Stars and Stripes. Now, what is the Stars and Stripes? Well, to some jackasses and pains in the ass and jackballs, the Stars and Stripes might as well be a hammer and sickle flag or a swastika flag, all right, because they're stupid. But the fact is, to the overwhelming majority of us, regardless of our political point of view, the Stars and Stripes is the symbol of our home, America. So we fly that flag. It has no political leaning. It has no, there's no political representation to the Stars and Stripes. To the star-spangled banner, it is the American flag. So when a guy is told to remove the American flag, we take exception to that. We take exception to it because we say, wait a second. I know you have a homeowners association thing, and I get that. And I understand that you people that live in a certain town, you don't want to see the fire department flying the flag, although for God, I don't know why, what your problem is. But by God, a man's home in a homeowners association, if he is adhering to a size regulation, which I think is reasonable, he ought to be able to fly the American flag. We're not talking about flying a Nazi flag, a stars and a hammer and sickle, or even something more benign, something like the Tea Party flag, or maybe a Obama flag, or something that is a part of the American political dialogue. They're saying, hey, not cool, we don't like it. And I understand that, I accept that. The American flag is different. The American flag is not the Tea Party flag, and it ain't the Obama flag, and it ain't none of that. It's the American flag. Fly the American flag. Now, I got a homeowners association. What do you got? Well, I'm going to put the Tea Party flag up. Well, no, that's not part of the deal. Hey, man, to me, that's America. Well, is it really? If you allow that damn Tea Party flag, then who's going to make the decision as to whose flag is okay to fly? Do you understand? Or is that too much for you, man? All right, let's listen to some of these brain surgeons talking about this. Here is Andy McDonald. Here's the guy. He's in Levine, Arizona. And he tells Fox 10 News in Phoenix that his flag, well, it isn't going anywhere.
If you want to fly a flag that represents something you believe in, then you should be able to do it without anyone telling you that you don't have a First Amendment right.
I think it's the same as a freedom of speech. You know, it's a flag that anybody should be able to fly, no matter what it's for.
Here are two neighbors. Actually, that was Ed Turner and Andy. Here are two neighbors supporting Andy.
There's no way that I'm going to take the flag down because...
Okay, we got that audio mixed up. Here is Andy McDowell, or whatever his name. Andy McDowell. Andy McDowell's a model.
Yeah. But it might be Andy McDowell.
This may be Andy McDowell, and something's happened to her.
There's no way that I'm going to take the flag down because an uneducated board member or an uneducated management company member doesn't recognize what the flag truly is. This flag is a flag of conviction. The founding fathers fought to establish this great country.
No, man, you don't get to co-opt the founding of America and the actual symbols of America. You don't get to co-opt for your political point of view. Okay? You can stand there and say you are this and that, but you don't get to do that. That's got nothing to do with anything. If I was a member of the Tea Party, if I was a and there are a lot of things the Tea Party stands for that I might actually like. You don't get to do that. Anyway.
I don't know, man. I mean, the Don't Tread on Me and everything, they had that in the John Adams movie.
So they had it in the John Adams movie. So what?
Yeah, but they were there running around with it. That's a symbol of America.
No. We got one symbol of America. It's called the flag, the stars and stripes. You understand?
Yeah, but what about the Don't Tread on Me?
That's what they had back in the Revolutionary War period before the country was formally established. We had all kinds of flags.
Yeah, dude. But in the John Adams miniseries...
Forget about the John Adams got garbage, too. Grandfather's ghost story leads to mysterious mass grave. Dig this. I saw this on the news. I thought, I'm always very interested in the history of our country, particularly when it comes to little-known events that involve, large losses of life, let's say. Malvern, Pennsylvania is where this story was filed from. This is a mass grave, says Bill Watson, as he is leading the way through the thick Pennsylvania woods in a suburb about 30 miles from Pennsylvania. Duffy's Cut, as it's now called, is a short walk from a suburban cul-de-sac in Malvern, an affluent town of the fabled Main Line. Now, twin brothers Bill and Frank Watson believe 57 Irish immigrants met violent deaths there after a cholera epidemic struck in 1832. Now, this is near, as we said, an affluent town, Malvern, off of the fabled Main Line in Philadelphia. They suspect foul play of these Irish immigrants. This is a murder mystery from 178 years ago. Now, the brothers first heard about Duffy's Cut from their grandfather, a railroad worker, who told the ghost story to his family every Thanksgiving. According to local legend, memorialized in a file kept by the Pennsylvania Railroad, a man walking home from a tavern reported seeing blue and green ghosts dancing in the mist on a warm September night in 1909. Which is 101 years ago. I saw with my own eyes the ghosts of the Irishman who died with the cholera a month ago, dancing around the big trench where they were buried. It's true, mister. It was awful. When he says a month ago, he means that's when he saw these alleged ghosts. They died, remember, in the 1830s, 1832. When Frank inherited the file of his grandfather's old railroad papers, the brothers began to believe the ghost stories were real. They suspected that the files contained clues to the location of a mass grave. One of the pieces of correspondence in this file told us X marks the spot, said Frank. He added that the document suggested that the men were buried where they were making the fill, which is the original railroad bridge. They built a bridge using landfill, and they might have buried these 52 Irish immigrants in this landfill. In 2002, the brothers began digging and searching. They found forks and remnants of a shanty. And in 2005, what Bill Watson calls the Holy Grail, a pipe with an Irish flag on it. They knew they were close, but Bill said they needed hard science to get them to the next step. The science came from Tim Bechtel, a geophysicist who learned about the project from a colleague at the University of Pennsylvania who had heard the Watson brothers speak. The friend knew Bechtel could provide the missing link that the brothers' excavation efforts needed. So Bechtel's work included earth scans, which can help detect where what's underground without digging or drilling. Boy, are we going to have enough time here? All right. By shooting electrical current through the slope, Bechtel said he learned there were oddball areas or places where the current wouldn't pass through. We saw areas in the slope that were very electrically resistant. Now, this was an initial indicator something might lie in the surface, beneath the surface. The further digging Bechtel and Watson went to, they detected air bubbles above the coffins. Well, it was the beginning of many puzzle pieces. One of the students came running about 2 in the afternoon one day, and they had a human bone in their hand. A teeny-weeny little fragment like that is so chock-full of information, said Janet Monge, holding up the jawbone and teeth found at Duffy's site. She's an anthropologist from the University of Pennsylvania. She's collected bones from seven skeletons now unearthed at Duffy's cut, including four skulls. Poring over the bones with her green spectacles sitting low on her nose, she said she's focused attention on the skulls, and a lot of them look as if wounds have been inflicted. 52 Irish immigrants, 1832, and they're just now figuring out that these people might not have died of cholera. They might have been murdered and buried in a mass grave in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
Well, what about the rest of it?
The show's over. Our show's produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wigan. And, of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft on the phones. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Yeah. Phil Hendry.